The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What's it like to attend the National Conference of the Grace Evangelical Society? Oh, it's lots of fun and fellowship. But what are the teachers like? Well, we have one of them with us today. His name is Dix Winston, and Ken Yates will be interviewing him. Find out more about the Grace Evangelical Society and how to register for the 2024 National Conference, May the 20th through the 23rd. When you go to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Now, with today's interview, here is Ken Yates with Dix Winston.
Welcome to another episode of Grace and Focus. This is Ken Yates, and we are today broadcasting from sunny Denton, Texas, really Camp Copus. We are at the annual GES conference where we're talking about vital free grace issues. At this conference, we have a number of speakers, plenary speakers, and then we also have breakout sessions. And I am here with one of our esteemed speakers, and he has something in common with me. We're both Kentuckians, and he is also, and I'll let him introduce himself here in a second, he is also living in Colorado, and that's where I went to college. Haven't been there in a long time, but so I'm going to let him introduce himself.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thank you. My name is Dix Winston. I grew up in Kentucky, similar backgrounds and all that sort of stuff. After moving out of Kentucky, I went to seminary at Dallas Theological Seminary, got a THM in Hebrew and Semitic studies, loved it, studied under Dr. Ross, just fell in love with the Old Testament. And then at the same time, I started a church in Kentucky. And about in early 90s, I went back, got a doctorate in apologetics because I saw it looked like where the culture was going. I wanted to give people a reason to believe, as Peter talks about in 1 Peter 3:15. Really enjoyed apologetics, was with an apologetic ministry for a while. And one of the things we do is we would just invite Christians who had non-Christian friends to come to a discussion on life and God issues. And I set a timer for 59 minutes and 50 seconds. It was one of those old egg timers. And it would click, 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 click. They couldn't see how the time was going, but I knew where it was going. And as soon as it dinged, discussion was over. And we'd pick it up next week at that point. We'd go for 4 weeks, and we saw so many people that have never had questions answered. Dr. Geisler in the doctoral program told me this. He said, listen, everyone should be doing evangelism. Apologetics, and I'm doing a doctorate in it, he says, you only do it when it's needed. And if someone's got, well, I don't believe there's a God, then you've got to backfill in that. I don't believe there's truth. Interestingly enough, Dr. Geisler, when he said he first started out in apologetics, he started with God because that was the starting point. He says in our culture today, you can no longer start with God. You've got to start with the issue of truth. Is there truth?
Oh, especially today with postmodernism.
With postmodernism. No one believes there's any truth anymore. And, of course, the easiest way to debunk that is look them straight in the eye and says, are you sure that's true?
are you sure there is nothing that is sure?
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, there is no truth. Well, is that or truth is relative. I call it big T, little t. You know, a lot of people, I believe there's a big T truth. That is, God has revealed himself. But everybody says, well, I've got my truth, little t, you've got your truth, and everybody lives in their own little truth bubble. What I want to say is, well, is my truth true for you? And they think about it, and they say, wait a minute, if I say his truth is true for me, there must be an overriding truth that governs us all. And so you just got to get people to think. Most people don't even think today. Kids are being raised, and I saw these kids do the interview. Those kids are thinking.
Yeah, what he's referring to is we just had a previous broadcast where we had two young ladies, a 9-year-old and 11-year-old.
Right.
And they're great.
Right.
They were great.
It's amazing. But not only kids, adults aren't thinking.
You know, I just want to say about this issue of truth, on this conference, one of the things that's really being emphasized is the assurance
yes.
of eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
And even within Christendom, there's a lot of people who say, well, you can't be sure of that. Mm-hmm. You can't know you have eternal life. You can't know you're going to be in the kingdom of God
right.
forever. And that's even Christians who say that.
Here's how I phrase it. And lots of times I'll do evangelism, and this relates to apologetics. when I do evangelism, I start off with, and in fact, I remember I was in, I had to go get some hospital tests, and I'm getting checked in and all that, and all these people are in there, you know, I'm kind of going, golly, you know, how many of us are going to walk out or going to be wheeled out, you know? And I said, I bet you get to see a lot of people. I was talking to the ladies checking us in. I bet you get to see a lot of people that are in pain and suffering. She says, oh, I do. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. If it were possible for you to live forever, would you be interested in that? And she thought seriously about that for just a moment. People are starting to build up behind us and everything. I'm going, oh, no. And she says, well, that all depends. I said, what does it depend on? Says, well, if I'm in pain, I don't want to live forever. And I said, if you could live forever, no emotional, psychological, spiritual, physical pain, would you want to live forever? She said, well, who wouldn't? And I said, absolutely, I believe that. And I was able to give her a copy of The Living Waters. And I said, this book will tell you how to live forever. And that's why it's so important that when we're sharing the gospel with people, we talk about the promise that Jesus made. The promise was eternal life. And that is the key starting point. I believe, as it was said, someone, they asked, what do you think was the most vital issue in Free Grace theology? And it's simply this. If you believe in Jesus, you have eternal life. You can be assured of eternal life.
Please plan to join us at Camp Copus in Denton, Texas. The Grace Evangelical Society's 2024 National Conference is May the 20th through the 23rd. Good fun, wonderful fellowship, recreational opportunities for the younger ones and the older ones, great teaching on the theme of free grace in the Epistles of Peter. There's VBS for kids, too. More information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. That's faithalone.org/events. Please come and join us.
I was raised in a tradition. You had to walk the aisle. I heard so many times, you know, well, I'll be ashamed of you in heaven. And that just sent, oh, my goodness, you know.
And you thought that meant hell.
And that meant hell, right. Yeah. And I thought, what are my mom and dad going to do when Jesus is ashamed of me? And he says, you got to get out of here, man. You're gone. You know, and mom and dad are going, wait, he wasn't that bad of a kid, you know. But that scared me to death. And so I came to the conclusion that if Jesus is telling the truth, there is no reason that I'd ever worry about going to hell.
Amen.
Because
there's
he made a
truth.
Promise.
Right.
There's a truth. And sometimes I'll phrase it to people this way. Listen, when someone makes a propositional statement or a promise to you, there are two questions that are going around in your mind. Question number one, is this person credible? Is he a liar? Is he just blowing smoke? And secondly, is he capable of fulfilling that promise? And I came to the conclusion that when Jesus Christ promised me eternal life, he's God, so he's credible. He's not going to lie to me. And the second thing that I came up is, well, wait a minute. If he's God, he can do anything. And he was raised from the dead. Let me say, when I share the gospel, I always talk about the cross at some point. I always talk about the resurrection at some point. But to me, that's evangelistic apologetics. It's showing people that because he was raised from the dead, he is credible and capable. But that won't get you to heaven believing that. You've got to believe the promise that he made. John 6:47, in my talk, I talked about it. There's only three things. One, two, three. Jesus, believe him, you got eternal life. That is the essence. That is the core. That is the irreducible minimum that we need to communicate to people about how they can have eternal life as well.
Our listeners can tell Dix is, he's not shy.
No.
And yesterday when he gave his plenary session, boy, everybody was just fixated. So you did a plenary and one or two breakouts?
I did one breakout.
What were your sessions on? Why don't you tell our audience what you talked about?
On the breakout session, it was called An Appearance of Grace from Titus 2:11-14. A lot of people accuse us that believe the promise, you got eternal life, assurance of salvation, of easy believism. And one of the things that Titus was saying in 2:11-14, he says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, not just the elect, but all men. And he says, instructing us, and the word is for teaching children how to be proper citizens, if you will, instructing us. And there is two negatives, to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. That's the starting point. You got to say no. If you want to lose 10 pounds, get rid of the Krispy Kremes. So you got to say no to something, but you say no to something, you get something better. And then he goes on and he lists three positives: deny ungodliness and worldly desires, 1 John 2:15 through 17. And then he says, teaching us to live sensibly, righteously, and godly. Those are the three positives. The sensibly is, it has to do with yourself. Don't be a crazy person. You know, it means prudent. Make wise decisions. Of course, you do that through the Bible. And then righteously is how you relate to each other, you know, fellow brothers and sisters. And then godly is how you relate to God. So three relational spheres there: yourself, others, and God. But how do you maintain that? He gives us in the next verse when he says, looking for the blessed hope and the glory of our great God and Savior. Unless you're looking on him coming back, you're going to get fatigued trying to live righteously. But he is coming back. He may come back today. Wouldn't that be great? And that is a motivation. He's coming back for us, and he needs to find us not eating Krispy Kremes, not being stupid, but being prudent, being righteous with our brothers and sisters, and relating and becoming more godly in a relationship with him. And then he goes on to say, why should we look for him? Because he's redeemed us from every lawless deed in order that he might create a people for his own possession. And then it says, zealous for good works. I love that. Zealots for doing good works. And he just talked about a lot of the Cretans, they don't do any good works. And now he's saying, I want you people zealous for good works.
And so this is a message for believers.
It's a believing message.
And so when he comes back, if we're living that way, we already have eternal life. So Titus is talking about rewards.
Rewards, and they go hand in hand. And that's the thing. Only free grace people talk about rewards.
Ain't that the truth?
We're the only ones that talk about it. But can you imagine when some of these people get to heaven, they've never heard the doctrine of rewards. They get up there, and we're at the Bema seat of Christ. He's handing out rewards. Someone said, what's this about? No one told me about this.
That's right. Dix and I both know that you meet a lot of people who in our churches who go, oh, I don't believe there's rewards. There's no such thing as rewards, or I don't want rewards. I think the way Dix said it is great. They're going to be surprised at the judgment seat of Christ when Jesus is giving out rewards. Well, I wanted to give our listeners an idea of what kind of speakers we have, and what the people here at the conference are experiencing when they're here and hearing these speakers. Dix is one of our examples of Dix. Just thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of the conference. We appreciate you, brother. And to all of our listeners, remember, keep grace in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening, and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the next episode, we return to question and answers from you. Email us your question. Here's the email address, radio@faithalone.org. Join us again, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.